Good morning, everyone. We've had a full morning so far today, huh? Don't you like it? I put our new logo in there, Dick. I had to snatch it off the internet, but I was able to make it work. I just love that picture. The Lord gave me a specific message for us this morning. And he's here. I don't know if you sensed his presence this morning, but he's here. And I believe he wants to speak to us if we want to listen. So I know Dick just prayed, but if you would just join with me in prayer. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for doing what we could never, ever do. Father, we thank you and we love you so much for loving us to the point of sending Jesus. And Holy Spirit, we invite you in this morning. And we thank you so much that you are dwelling and living in us, empowering us, encouraging us, teaching us, motivating us, directing us, all these things because of your great love for us. And I pray that our minds would come around who you are and what you're trying to speak to us this morning, Lord, for our own encouragement. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. So if you take a look at that, can almost be Lake Ontario. We had a beautiful sunset the other night. We say we have faith to follow the Lord, right? I think we could all make that statement that we have faith to follow the Lord. But do we trust him along the way? If you look at that sail, see that little cross up there? I just see that and see that our lives aren't always like that first picture, are they? We're not always on that beautiful calm water, that gorgeous sky. Things are going wonderfully our way. But you know, if you remember what Dick was sharing last week, you remember that he said several times that a word kept coming back to him, right? And I won't quiz you and ask you what that word is. I'll tell you, this is not a class and you're not going to get tested. He's talked about hope, remember? In different situations and things about having hope in the Lord. And it's interesting because the Lord had put some things on my heart before he ever spoke last week. And the Lord really narrowed down to me a word. And that word is trust. How can we hope in something we don't trust, right? It's very difficult to have that kind of settling hope if we don't trust. You know, we are going to go through some scriptures this morning. And you know, the Old Testament is filled with scriptures about trust. Anybody know that? Look through the Psalms, the Proverbs, it's there all the time. And you don't necessarily see that word as we come into the New Testament, but that theme is there for us about trust. I'm going to read you a quick scripture. I didn't want to put them all up there, but this is Isaiah 26, and it says, you, again, remember what, this is a theme, okay? I can't stress it enough from last week. This is a theme that God is weaving And I believe he wants to take us in deeper, almost like a surgeon, and pinpoint into our heart a specific thing that he wants to touch, that he wants to touch, and that's trust. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4 says this, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you." Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord Himself, is the rock eternal. You know, there's this interesting relationship between faith and trust. And I don't know if you've spent any time thinking about it, but they're kind of different. They're in the same vein, but there are different things. Let me give you a quick example, okay? Think about people in your lives that you're very close to, that you have the faith to believe that they love you no matter what, right? There are people that are like that. Now, let's say you had something very personal and very serious, and you wanted to share it with somebody. Now, there are people, forgive me, that you don't trust can keep it quiet. You hear what I'm saying? You have faith in them. You know they love you. You know they do anything for you. You know they lay their lives down for you. But you don't quite trust them to keep their mouth closed. It's not in them. You hear what I'm saying? So you really need to have someone show up at the airport and pick you up. Again, you're scattering in your mind, you're seeing those people, those same people, and you're thinking, no, I'm not sure you're going to be there. I don't want to be sitting there at 11 o'clock at night waiting for you at O'Hare International Airport in Chicago. I know you love me, I have faith that you love me, but I don't trust that you will be there at that time and not leave me hanging out there. And I hope that you're beginning to see this difference, these two things work together. But they're very interesting. Let's jump into the New Testament and see this theme coming through. It's in Hebrews. Hebrews 11:1 says this, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see." Let me read it to you again. Hebrews 11:1, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." And I'm suggesting to you that we're seeing this theme, we're seeing this faith and trust coming into play here. And I think there's an element of trust that we overlook, and I think we overlook it regularly because we have learned trust through our own imperfect lives and the imperfect lives of everyone else around us. And it's hard for us to trust in the Lord the way that He wants us to and the way that He deserves us to. But there's an absolute need for us to trust in the Lord. I'm going to quote, it's a Bible commentator who isn't like from the 1200s, he's actually still alive today, and has a church in Southern California, you can believe that. His name is David Guzik. I feel like I've never met him, but lots of the things I've read, I really appreciate him. He was a Bible teacher, I believe, in Germany before he came here. And he writes this, "Faith is not a bare belief or an intellectual understanding." Getting that? Faith is not just, you think of a bare belief. It's like, it's not fully outfitted. And he goes on to say this, and it's not just some intellectual understanding. It is a willingness, this is about the scripture we just read. It is a willingness to trust in, rely on, and cling to. Do you have a willingness to trust in, rely on, and cling to what we just said? Do you have that assurance in your faith? The writers in Hebrew go on, he does, to clarify this, but I wanted to give you a quick, my simple distinction in this. Faith is summed up in what we believe and proclaim. I tried to separate this out for you. Trust is summed up in what we do or what we don't do. Faith is summed up in what we believe and proclaim. Trust is summed up in what we do or don't do. And I can tell you from my own personal experience that faith that has some issues with trust will lead to much fear and anxiety. Are you hearing me? And I don't think I'm that different than everybody else. And I know the Lord. I can't wait till I see him again face to face. I believe everything he says, but for some reason, I get into situations and there is an element of trust I don't have. If I did, I think my actions would be different in what I do and what I don't do. And I really feel that the Lord is trying to get to that point with us today. Hebrews 11:6 says this, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God." Listen, two elements again. This is just a few verses later. "Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." Do you feel like you're being rewarded right now? Do you trust? That's his word. Do you trust right now in the things you're facing, the situations you're in, the shortcomings you had? Go through the whole gamut. Do you trust God that you're somehow getting rewarded? There's this coupling of these two things. If we're going to move ahead in our faith, we have to understand this. I like quotes, since I know I'm not the smartest guy in the block. These two elements seem most simple, but alas. Now, this is from a guy from the 1800s, so, you know, listen to the wording here. "These two elements seem simple, but alas, how many professing Christians act as if God were not living," the one part, right? "Or how many others, though seeking after him, are not expecting from him as rewarder?" You're just kind of moving through. There's not that expectation. There's not that trust that you're being rewarded. I loved how he said that. It's like some of them are like, act as if God's not around at all, right? Maybe God hears me, maybe he doesn't, I don't know. And there are others who are walking around not expecting God to reward you. And I have to tell you, if you think it's just all going to be in the future, it's not going to help you. James says an interesting thing in James 2:19. He goes, "You believe that there is one God? Good!" Exclamation point. Even the demons believe that and shudder. There's this element of, okay, there's got to be something else there. The demons, like, I think they have way more faith than I do. They know. They've been there. They've seen it. They've worked under him, right? But rewarding? No. No, no, no. That's why they shudder. We shouldn't shudder. We should be trusting God in things and situations and issues that we don't understand ourselves. Faith without trust not only can hold you back, but you, this is my opinion, you'll be stagnant and you'll be getting by with meager existence without that element of trust. Okay? Without that element of trust. I'm recalling a story. Anybody remember Corrie Ten Boom? in concentration camps in Germany, and their particular barracks were just infested. They were all infested with lice, okay? And her sister was in there with her and complaining, and her basic premise is, we gotta trust God. Because those lice were in there, the Nazis stayed away from their little barracks. I mean, I bring that out because we have to have this element of trust when we don't quite understand what's going on. Jesus said something. Remember? He said, I have come that you may have life. Not just a meager life, but life to the full. And I'll just give you just a little revelation I had some years ago. One day I was thinking, Lord, I know that's what your word says, faith, right? I believe that's what you say. But I'm not feeling like life is woo to the full right now. And the Lord just, because he knew that was a heart that believed. And he just said to me, so what's your definition of life? And I went, okay, you got me there. I can trust you. What did he say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. We can trust him because he did come that we may have life to the full. That life is in him. If we trust him, we can find him and seek him in all those situations. Newsflash. Oh my goodness. So what did Jesus say about it? It's always important, don't you think? Here's what he said. I knew that color was going to be tough, lower on that slide. Jesus said this, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat, what you will drink, or your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Sometimes if you get into Scripture and you pray and God gives you something and you begin to go through the Scriptures, you see these, as you peel the onion layer back, as they say, you see these themes coming through. And through the Holy Spirit, God just opens doors and you begin to see more of the heart behind this. And he's talking to them, right? And there's this sense that he's saying, do you even know me? He goes through this and he's like, you know, don't worry. He's like, can you picture him for a second? He's looking at you right in the eye, okay? You've all prayed prayers and you've all been in places, whether it's a situation, whether it's something in your heart, whatever is going on. And could you see the Lord looking right in your eye and saying, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. See, wait. Look at these birds. See them up there? They don't store things up in barns. They're not doing any of those things. How we worry, how am I going to do this? How am I going to pay this bill? How am I going to get healthy? How in the world am I ever going to redeem this relationship? And we can go on and on. This thing that keeps bothering me over and over, Lord, I can't get past this sin, habit, whatever the case may be. And Jesus is looking at you and he's saying, look at this. Who's feeding these birds? Your Father in heaven. And then he looks you in the eye and says, aren't you more valuable than they are? It's almost like, do you know me? And it's just interesting to me. And he goes on. Because if you're anything like me, you're like, yeah, I know that, but we're always about the yeah buts. Have you noticed? Yes, Lord, but.
Yes, but you don't understand. This situation is different than those 1,732,000 other ones I've come to you with. This one's a little different because this one is in this one. This one's saying this. This is going on. Now I'm like this. I'm older. I'm younger. I don't have the money. My grades are bad. I think I may get fired. I've done this for the 10,000th time. You know, my spouse is upset at me. I haven't brought relationship back with my children. I don't know if I can do that. I'm not even equipped. And so he goes, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? So now we're getting into the, if I may say, the carnal, fleshly things. Listen to him. He says, for the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He's talking about, again, trusting in him. He's saying, I know you need that. Whatever that is, I know you need it. But it's so interesting. Again, dig deep. The Lord is looking at you saying, and he says, look, don't act like the world. The pagans are running after these things. And you're, and he's so gentle. I mean, at that point, he could be hitting us over the head with a 2x4. It's like, did you say you're a Christian? And he's like, but he's so gentle and kind. Look, I know you need these things. I know you need them. Don't be like the pagans who were running after these. Who are they? They're just people who don't know God. They are not trusting him for anything, right? And he's saying, don't be like that. Here's what I want you to do. He gives us the antidote for that problem, that lack of trust. And what does he say? Seek me. Seek me. Seek my kingdom. The pagans, the non-Christians are going after that. They don't understand any better. You're supposed to. Do you trust me? You know what? If you're having an issue with these things, I know you need them. So many times they're like, I don't know if you knew this, Lord. There's a situation brewing, and no one else knows it, but I put this all together in my mind. He said, this and this and this. We string all these things together, and we come to this place. And he's like, I know. Don't be like the world. I know you need them. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to seek me. You have an issue trusting me? Come and seek my kingdom and my righteousness. I love how he says that. Because if we're having issues with our own heart, which we have all the time, he's saying, hey, don't get caught up in your own shortcomings. Seek my kingdom and whose righteousness? His righteousness for your life. Can you trust the Lord for his righteousness over your life? Can you do that? When life doesn't cooperate, has that ever happened to any of you? Does life ever not cooperate with you? Seems like it's not cooperating with anybody these days. Let me read you this from a little different perspective. That day when evening came, he said to the disciples, let's go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. I could talk to you for the next hour right here, but don't worry, that's not happening. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that they were nearly swamped. Just again, a little background here. They had seen Jesus do all kinds of miracles, all kinds of things, healing all kinds of people. Okay? Leper, touched, boom. I mean, that doesn't just happen, right? We know how unclean they were. It was a horrible thing. And they saw all these things going on. Newsflash, just because we follow Jesus' command doesn't mean we get a free ride. How's that for blunt and straight? How many of you have ever thought, I did what you told me to do? And we think somehow we're going to get a pass. Somehow, because we finally came in line with the Lord, I'm here now. Has all heaven stopped and fell at my feet? We have this revelation because we're so excited. We're doing what God tells us. And then something happens and we're like, where did that come from? I'm doing what you asked me to do. And sometimes they're very serious things. And I have to be honest with you, years ago, some of you know a long time ago, when my wife Annette was pregnant for Nathan, we were very involved, in small groups, doing all kinds of things. I think at that time we were in charge of like the church building, and you know, she got broadsided by a police car, no fault of her own, and you know, they delivered Nate, he was in neonatal intensive care, she was had a serious brain injury. I remember thinking, that, Lord, I'm doing all these things. And I wasn't trusting him. And I gotta tell you, thank God for Peter Mayer, who talked to me in the basement, it wasn't the basement, it kind of was, of Krause Irving. We were at the cafeteria, and the Lord wouldn't let that stand, by the way. I mean, if we don't believe that he's rewarding us in the most difficult situations, if we're not trusting him, we have nothing to go on, right? The Lord isn't good. If we can't trust him with our life, that's a game stopper. We can't move forward. Can't happen. He has to address it, and he did. Pete said, you know, I'm like, I've never been so far away from the Lord. I was just, you know, 27, I think. But he wouldn't let it go. He wasn't mean. He loved me, and he wouldn't let that stand. And I had a very interesting experience, but something broke right there. Right there in the cafeteria of Krause Irving. And I went, oh. So no matter what happens with her, I'm being rewarded. I did. And I thought, okay, changed my life in that moment. I have to tell you, God won't let it stand. That's who he is. Could you imagine if your son or daughter gave their life for some, like took a bullet for somebody, and later that person's like, I don't know if they really cared about me anyway. You'd be like, want to jump out of your skin, right? Making the wrong choice. Jesus, when was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion, the disciples woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drowned? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, Quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm, and he said to his disciples, Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? I had this scripture a couple weeks ago, and something I was talking about at Basic. We played a little clip. I found a little quip. Somebody did this, and it was so interesting. I don't know what movie it was out of about Jesus, but he's asleep. They're like, he gets up, walks to the end of the boat, and it's like crazy, like Lake Ontario, and they knew this. Everything had calmed down, and he turned around, and as he's walking back to his spot sleeping, he was almost glaring at them, like, for real? Really? Put it in that sense. That was me that day at the hospital. Why? What? Did you not see everything? Have I not made myself? Do you not trust me? Okay? For somebody to look you in the eye and say, I don't trust you, that's very offensive. Am I wrong? It's like, what do you mean you don't? What do you mean? There's that element of faith. It's like they had an element of faith. They saw all these things. But when life got really crazy, and again, it doesn't have to be a situation. It could be right in here that you got a serious problem here, okay? It doesn't have to be external. And it's like, don't you care? Oh,
those are the frightened words, because it goes against
everything that he is. Everything that he's done for you. The incredible price he paid for you to not trust him.
And I got to tell you, we do it all the time. We just do. And the Lord is speaking to us. A lack of trust can shipwreck our faith. It really can. I think we know people. Something happened, and God didn't come through the way they want to, shipwreck their faith, and they walk away. They're just, it's like, I can't trust you anymore. It's a very serious thing. I read something else that was interesting studying this. This was from a Bible commentator named Cole. He said, the Lord's sleep was not only the sleep of weariness, listen to this, it was also the rest of faith. For there is a rest of faith as well as a watch of faith. He pointed this really cool thing out. Jesus was a man. Somehow in the midst of that craziness, he's like, man, I'm really tired. I gotta take a nap. Gotta catch a few Z's. And there he is. Wow. I could trust the Lord like that. That in the middle of the craziest part of my life, I could just, in peace, sleep and be at peace and rest. Oh, Lord. Making the right choice. Had to pick this guy out. We're in Acts. Little backstory. So we know about Paul's conversion. Paul went to the Sanhedrin, and the scripture says before this that he was, his name was Saul at the time, breathing murderous threats against the Lord's people. So he's on his way to Damascus, right, with not good intentions. And so he gets saved. He has this encounter. He's blind. And the Lord speaks to Ananias in a dream, right? And tells Ananias, here, I want you to go see this chap named Saul. And Ananias is like, who? You mean the guy breathing out murderous threats who's on his way over here? And here's what he says. He says, Lord, Ananias answered, I don't know if you know this, if you got the news. Did you see that? Have you checked your phone lately? I've heard many reports. Are you off Instagram? I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people. That's right, Lord. Your holy people. That's the guy. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. Don't you love the way the scripture is? There was no big explanation. Go, boink. Move it. Get out. Oh. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. So, Ananias has got some issues. And he goes to the Lord. What we do, again, a lack of trust. Well, Lord, apparently you missed something in here. Let me counsel you. I don't think you quite understand. When you hear what I'm about to tell you, I think you're going to change your mind about this one. But what happens? I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled. He does it. Remember, trust what you do or don't do. In the midst of all that, there's a way you can bring these things to the Lord and still be fulfilling trust with him. And it's not like he had some great message. I mean, he healed him.
But the Lord said, I'm going to show that guy how much he's got to suffer. Oh, yeah, let me go bring some guy breathing murderous threats out who wants to kill me and say, by the way, I got this special word for you. You're going to suffer a lot. You still want to not kill me? But he fulfilled what he had to. He went to the Lord. He did it. There was a trust in Ananias. He made the right choice. Unlike the disciples in the boat, he's like, let me just bring this to your attention, Lord. Was he 100%? No, but he brought it and he ended up doing what he needed to do. And he did it. And he went. Okay. We're almost done here. We're going to end in the Old Testament. Don't trust in man. Jeremiah 17, 5 and 6. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man. Let me stop for a minute there. This is not like male, okay? This is a humankind. You know what? That includes you. If you're trusting in you, that's part of that. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh. Listen to the tone of the Lord here. Okay, we do it all the time. I do it all the time. When problems and issues come my way, I do two things. One, I look, do an inventory inside me. Come on, I'm not the only one. Look at my own inventory. Can I get this done? How can I get this done? I can't get this done. Now I go through my networking in my mind of people, right? And unfortunately, when I get to the end of that list, I'm like, maybe I should pray. Because God wants me to be so self-sufficient. I mean, that's what I'm here. I'm mature. I'm not just drinking the milk. That person will be like a bush, not a tree. That person will be like a bush in the wasteland. They will not see prosperity when it comes. I can't go past that. I have it in my notes, but I can't. You are going to miss something. You hear me? You are going to totally miss out on prosperity if you're not trusting in God. It's going to come your way. Do, 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 do. And you're going to be over here, and it's going to be like prosperity, 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 but you're over here. You're going to miss prosperity. You're cursed when it comes. Not if, when it comes. They will dwell in parched places of the desert, in a salt land where there is no one. I don't want to be cursed. I don't want to miss prosperity. And look what it says. They'll be in parched places. You know what that tells me as I was reading that? We're always going to be wanting. We're not going to be satisfied. Parched, ever really thirsty? It's like, just had a drink. You're wanting, you're needing. If we're not trusting in the Lord, we're trusting in anything else than that, you're going to miss prosperity and you're going to be wanting all the time. But if we trust in the Lord, we are blessed. Those who trust in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him, they will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the streams. It does not fear when the heat comes. I don't know if it was the Holy Spirit in my own mind, but I'm thinking when the heat comes, I'm thinking the heat is coming, okay? Bring down the heat. The heat is coming on my life. When the heat comes, there's no fear. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries. In a year of drought and never fails. I'm going to read you a few benefits, but I want to leave you on this almost pretty image. Ooh. So peaceful there. That's Oswego in February, isn't it? It can be in my mind. So, trusting in the Lord brings us blessing and stability in all kinds of situations. We will not fear when we are in difficult seasons. We will not worry when our soul, hear that, is in a dry place. We get there. When the heat comes, we will always bear fruit. Other people will benefit from our fruitful lives. Let's pray for a minute.
Lord, we thank you for this time. Lord, I thank you for this beautiful picture that you paint for us when we trust in you. Lord, for myself, I repent for my lack of trust, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we would enter a new place of trust, Lord. That we wouldn't rely on mere flesh, whosoever that is. That we would believe you, that we would seek you, that we would see your righteousness in our lives, Lord. That when life takes its turn, we wouldn't just fall apart. That we wouldn't just be stagnant. That we wouldn't just be neutral or go backwards, Lord. But that we would see that picture, Lord. I need that trust, Lord. I need to be that tree. I need to be bearing fruit all the time, Lord. I need to be stable when the world around me is crashing in. And I pray that over all of us. And I know the only way that's going to happen is if we know you more. And I pray, Lord, wherever we are in that place of knowing you, that we would have a revelation. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would send new and fresh revelation into our hearts, Lord, about who you are. And the places that are hurt and broken, the places we're not trusting, that we could trust you. That we could trust you because we know you wherever we're at. Even if we think we're not worthy, even if we think we're so broken, Lord, we can trust you. Even for those around us that we think are broken, relationships, whatever, our physical bodies, whatever, that we could know you and trust you and believe somehow, some way, we're going to be rewarded and we can live life to the fullest. And we ask that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Thank you so much for hanging in there.